You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Today, Oakland teachers and students are back at school for the third day after a seven-day strike. The teachers ended up winning a much bigger pay increase than the district originally proposed. But over 40% of the union members voted not to take the deal. They said it didn't meet enough of their demands. Here with me to talk about what's next for OUSD and the labor movement are KALW education reporter Lee Romney and our economy reporter Liza Veal. Hi, guys.
Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Hey, so 58% of teachers voted to approve this contract. Liza, you've been following strikes around the state and the country. Is that number low?
It is. For comparison, in LA, after their strike, 81% of teachers voted to take the deal. And then the Marriott strike, which was at the end of last year, over 99% of the members voted to ratify. Mm-hmm. So it's low.
Okay. So, Lee, what else did Oakland teachers want?
Well, they wanted to see bigger reductions to class size and lower caseloads for student support staff. Mm-hmm. They got some reductions, but even though OUSD nurses are getting a bonus, they still have the same maximum caseload, which is one nurse for every 1,350 students. Mm-hmm. So school closures are another sticking point. A lot of union members wanted a commitment that there won't be any school closures, and what they got was a five-month moratorium. But the district's long-term plan for closures still stands.
And is that because of declining enrollment, so many kids going to charter schools?
Yeah. So school closures are a really key part of the district's plan to save money and reduce that high overhead. And the district says the 11% salary increase over 4 years, which was just approved in this new contract, that means more cuts are necessary in other areas.
Wow.
Yeah. So on Monday, the board voted 4-3, it was contentious, to approve nearly $22 million in cuts for next year. And we're talking really painful areas like school libraries, restorative justice, Asian Pacific Islander student support, and foster youth case managers. Mm. And at that meeting on Monday, students protested. And here's a clip of one student at the meeting, followed by Claremont Middle School teacher Janelle Fortaleza, who was interviewed by KPIX.
After we stood in solidarity with our hardworking teachers, you'll set up for less and turn your backs on us. Do not say you care about your students after you used us for your little raise.
I understand why they would feel betrayed. I just hope that they don't think that it's the teachers who betrayed them. I hate that the school board is using our salary increase as an excuse to cut these programs, because those are the kids that we care about the most, and those are the kids that we're always looking out for in our classrooms.
They sound heartbroken. Is there somewhere else the union was hoping the money would come from, if not budget cuts, though?
Well, I think the union still does not trust the district's budget projections. They've said so. They think the money is there. But the county's independent fiscal crisis management team that oversees the district released a FAT report last week saying that even without the cost of the raises calculated in, the district still faces a $9 million deficit this year alone and more to come.
Okay. So, Liza, where does that leave the teachers and the supporters of the strike?
Well, I talked to one teacher at Rise Elementary. His name's David Moore. And he's part of a group that's pushing for a wildcat strike. That means unauthorized by union leadership. Uh-huh. But I also talked to union members who didn't want to go on the record, who feel like most teachers aren't ready to strike again, at least not without a real reason to believe that they can do better a second time around. Mm. And that teacher, David Moore, he also said that his group is planning to run candidates to oppose the current union leadership in the next elections, because they blame those leaders for pushing an unpopular deal on the members.
And so in the meantime, some of the funding issues can't be solved by OUSD anyway.
That's very true. So that's why everyone, the district, teachers, the students are all saying they're going to go to Sacramento for help. Mm-hmm. So there are big structural problems that need to be fixed, but there are some efforts underway to fix them. Pending state legislation would curtail charter school growth. Controversial. Governor Newsom has talked about helping school districts with pension liabilities. Mm-hmm. And in 2020, voters are going to get a chance to undo part of Prop 13, the commercial part. That's California's infamous property tax cap.
Right. Okay. So does the strike then leave labor leaders emboldened?
Yeah. Well, organizers say the strike was significant because now teachers and also students and their parents are collectively organized. I mean, we've seen how that works. Like, for example, in West Virginia, where last year there were these extraordinary wildcat teacher strikes. Mm. And then just last month, the state legislature there, they were considering a state bill to allow charter schools. And then all the teachers, who are now really organized from pulling off that strike, they walked out to oppose it, and within hours, the legislature killed the bill.
Mm-hmm. So even with the strike over, they're still in a better position.
Yeah, to fight for whatever may come next. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I would just say that this strike in Oakland is part of a real wave. I mean, last year across the country, there were more major work stoppages, which includes strikes, than any other year in the last 3 decades.
All right. Thanks for the update, Liza.
Thanks, Anna.
And thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Lee Romney's KALW's education reporter. Liza Veal is our economy reporter. Find more of their reporting at KALW.org.